Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside the 11 p.m. hour, 3 hours to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. We've got a few different topics to hit on. Everything from the Hall of Fame. You know, like, I was watching Ichiro today get choked up. As the Mariners said, after he's inducted to the Hall of Fame, they're going to retire his number 51. And, man, I loved Ichiro as a kid. How could you not? Like, he's a unanimous first ballot swag champ. The sunglasses, the backwards hat, the clothes he wore, the way he played the game. And, you know, seeing him now all gray, you know, full head of gray hair, and getting emotional because they're telling him he's going to be retired with Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey Jr. and Jackie Robinson out there at T-Mobile Ballpark in Seattle. It pissed me off that one guy didn't make him a unanimous Hall of Famer. And I tried not to go down that route. I tried to say, yo, don't, let's not give these guys any attention because they don't really want the attention. They just want to, you know, throw that one stone and hide their hand. But I'm like, yo, sucks that we live in a world where people are just anonymously petty and allowed to be. 888-808-1019. Shout out to Ichiro, man. What a class. What a Hall of Fame class. CeCe, the stuff around CeCe has been great. Man, they did a great job going to his house and documenting all of that. And, man, now just reliving all the stories and all the things coming back from his Yankee tenure and his career, just it brings you back down memory lane. And how pumped we were that we got CeCe Sabathia, a big-ass bulldog, a left-handed beast on the mound, somebody that nobody wanted problems with. You know, I use this as an opportunity to tip my cap to Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman made him come here. He didn't want to be here. He threw enough money at him, made a kid from Vallejo say, yeah, I'll come to New York. And now he's an icon. Now he's a Hall of Famer. He talked about the Bronx is home and, you know, he raised his kids here and he's never going to leave this city. And he's going to Cooperstown with a Yankee hat on. And pretty soon we're going to be at Yankee Stadium when they retire 5-2. So, man, shout out to CeCe too. Just another thing I said last night about CeCe. He's a larger than life personality, human being, player. Like when he's around, I've been around him a few times now and like just his voice and the way he carries himself and the fact that he's huge. People gravitate to him. He's so talented. It couldn't happen to a better guy. So all good things to say about him. And then, you know, even with Billy Wagner, the story about him breaking his arm like at his grandmother's house and, you know, throwing left-handed and becoming one of the best left-handed relievers. And, you know, when you think about him breaking down, being emotional, getting the news on his last try, on opportunity number 10. It's like, yo, who are these baseball writers that hold this power where they can make a guy wait for a decade and then be so emotional. It's like, I don't know, man. I think the whole thing is screwed up, is backwards. And I think in 5 to 10 years, kids aren't even going to care about the Hall of Fame. And the way that the game has changed, it's not going to matter. There's going to be less and less people going to the Hall of Fame. Let's go to Lou and Astoria on the Fan. What's up, Lou?
Hey, big guy. How are you?
I'm good. Fighting a little cold, but, you know, I don't have to work outside.
But, you know, I mean, the weather's been pretty good. I mean, as far as the Jets is concerned right now, as long as we have that cancer and Rodgers, there's no coaching that I respect right now, because he is
he might be back.
Coach.
Aaron Glenn might bring
as far
him back.
As Rodgers is still a Jet, I don't want to hear it, okay?
Hey, if Aaron Rodgers wants to, yeah, I don't know. I would say, hey, just wait and see.
He's a cancer guy. I don't want him on the team. He's done. He's cooked.
Have a better option at quarterback, though, and Aaron Glenn might want to start off.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. All right, listen, football is your game. I mean, I like my Jets. I think Rodgers is struck at the entire team. He's a disgrace. Anyway, on Ichiro, I think that Ichiro Suzuki definitely should have been 100%. I don't understand why these writers should be in charge. They don't know baseball. They have an interview, just like you have an interview with that guy that I got for you. What was his name? The famous guy that you asked him a nice question and he got pissed off at you?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, what I'm saying is, if a writer doesn't have a conversation with you and he doesn't like what you said, he's going to hold it against you. The Hall of Fame should be actually a panel of former Hall of Famers that know the game and know baseball, okay? Ichiro, to me, what is it? He doesn't speak English? If he would have played his entire career at a young age with the Yankees, he'd be God. I mean, a tremendous arm, defensively, unbelievably, okay? And the art of hitting, he was incredible. I remember when he was about 40 years old, he came to the Yankees on the show porch, and he hit the home run, and Jeter was like, what? What are you doing? You know, I mean, I don't understand. Something has to change because the Hall of Fame, and by the way, now that Zou is there, I want Peter Alonso with the Mets, and I want him to play now that the team is going to be better and be protective but with better players.
Thanks for the call, Lou. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I don't have a motive with anybody. I don't have any type of – I don't know what you was talking about with that, bro. yeah, with Pete Alonso. Let's keep the conversation going with Pete Alonso. Where in the world is Pete Alonso? Probably in Florida working out, thinking about things, waiting, hoping. And I don't know what Scott Boras is going to be able to bring to him. But it's like tick, 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 tick. I know the Mets have made other moves. But since the Dodgers have made other moves, I think it brings the conversation back to Pete Alonso. Josh is in Far Rockaway on the Fan. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, Keith?
You know, rewatching the Devils game a little bit. It just restarted in here.
Yeah. Do you think that the Mets should make a trade for Dylan Cease?
If it's possible, sure. Why not?
How do you think they can make that trade?
They're going to have to give up some prospects. They're going to have a better offer than the Minnesota Twins. Or I forget who else I saw was interested in his services.
And who else, which other good relievers are out there?
Well, he's a starter.
Yeah, I know, but...
What other relievers are still out there on the market? I don't know. I would expect David Stearns to, you know, make some marginal moves, add a couple guys here and there that nobody's really thinking about, and, you know, kind of bolster the team and the bullpen that way. Thanks for the call, Josh. I don't know if that was...
Bro, that's what happens when you ride your scooter to school too many times. And it's -7 degrees outside.
Yeah, that's that's Josh and Passaic. Josh and Far Rockaway was just on the phone.
Oh, see, I get all these young Joshes confused.
Let's go to Josh and Passaic right now. What's up, Josh?
Yo, Keith, I did not scooter today, I'll tell you that. I got a ride all nice and warm. nice smooth strides over there.
Yeah, because you was tweaking yesterday.
Rolling with a headache.
You was rolling over the black ice, the gray snow.
Yeah, the roads are all messed over and whatever. We're
frosted. The roads are gray.
They did a bad job of cleanup this time.
It's tough.
So first off, I got to give out a shout out to Slurpee. Hope he's listening right now. And, you know, before I get to anything, the whole Heat situation with Jimmy Butler is not functional. I don't know how you, like, why you still have him, like, that you're suspending him for two games. I don't know why he's not suspended indefinitely. The guy doesn't want to be there. You don't want him there. Well, I'm hoping he goes to Phoenix and the Suns just get even more messed up and end up like that, you know, especially with Durant. You know, talking about how
Miami Heat are a 500 team. Jimmy Butler's, he's on something. Like, I don't even know what he's on. Why does he have his hair braided with, like, I don't know. I think he's just, he needs some help. He needs something. They need to let him go. They're going to suspend him again, right? He's trying to take it up with the CEO. He put that stupid letter out like he was MJ, I'm back. This dude is, he's off his rocker a bit.
Yeah, you wonder if he was scootering outside 7 degrees, you know. Maybe he was taking a vacation in New York. You never know with these people. But anyway, going to our Devils, I felt like this game was, you know, it was the redeeming game. Dawson Mercer, who had, after having his great season 2 years ago, hadn't really played too well since, puts up two goals. Dougie Hamilton, the guy for power plays in overtime, puts in the power play goal. And then it happens with Markstrom. This is so tough. You know, he doesn't come back in. I'm hoping just because they're up by a few goals. How do you think about that injury, Keith?
I don't know. Shout out to Nico Heischer. Shout out to Stephen Nason, Dougie Hamilton.
Good game.
All the guys.
They gave up one goal.
Like, I'll say this about the Jacob Markstrom injury. I said it in the open. Like, hopefully he's just able to tough it out and it's just like a sprain or it's just like a bruise or I don't know. I was watching Hoops and watching that. When I saw that, I'm like, no, that's exactly what you don't need right now. When you're on a four-game losing streak. But it's good to see them get off the mat against the Bruins at home. A win is a win, and one win can start the next winning streak and kind of right the ship, but you damn sure need your goalie. But I got faith in Jake Allen as well.
Much faith as I want to have in him. You know, he was one of the goalies last year for second half of the year, and they were 31st to 32nd. In goals given up per game, and he's played well, but some of these guys only play well, you know, in the backup role. Once these guys actually show their face, you know, in consecutive games, and they're usually not as good. You never know with him.
I got faith in the defense in front of him. They got to win, bro. The last stretch, they were just like, the games were not fun to watch. It was like they were in shambles.
Right, and the offense especially, and it was good to get enough few goals back up. You know, you didn't even have Jack Hughes score any goals. And it just, when the team plays well, this was a good win, minus the Markstrom. This is a good, if you want to, you know, build off this. They got the Flyers twice now, who aren't a team that should be too hard. They just lost them before, but, you know, that was in their little bad stretch over there. And looking at the Mets, Keith, this is sad. I've seen this report a few times, right, that they're predicting, and many people are, that Alonso's going to go to the Angels. Now, if he goes there, that is very sad on him. You know, Anthony Rendon, Mike Trout, guys that get injured every single year there. And I hope he would tell Boris, like, at this point, like, I don't care too much about the money. Get me some other team. Because they're phoning a four-year, $100 million. I just tell you, if he goes there, that's pathetic. More pathetic than Patrick Mahomes saying that the Chiefs don't get any calls. Thanks for taking my call. And mazel tov to Yitzi from Lakewood on his wedding tonight. I'm sorry for not making there if he's listening. Thanks for taking my call, Keith. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Well, the Patrick Mahomes thing, what do you expect Pat to say? He's got a phone. He sees everything that comes out, and he's the beneficiary of these calls, and he's the reigning champion, and this kid is like Patrick Mahomes, he might win another Super Bowl, might win MVP. I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that's pathetic that Pat came out there to say that he's not getting favorable calls. And like that, what do you expect him to be like? Yeah, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I get all the calls. Duh. I flop. I lean into it. I cry like a baby. I put my hands up. They better throw the flag. I'm the product. I am the face of the league. They need me. They better protect me. Like, he can't do that. As far as Pete Alonso going to the Angels, California's nice. Money's is nice. And if Pete Alonso goes to the Angels, it will really tell you that, like, there is no crawling back. There is no, you know, like, going back to the Mets, the bridge is burned, and he's got his own ego and thoughts and things, and he doesn't want to be a part of the team anymore. It's too far gone. I wouldn't do that. I would hope somebody's in his corner to maybe kind of just, you know, tell him to swallow his pride, be humble. You're not winning anything with the Angels. But you know what? Maybe he wants to play for Ron Washington. You remember the All-Star game in L.A., right? Ron Washington working out with Pete, doing some drills at first base. Maybe he wants to go play for old Skip. I don't know. If that happens, the Angels, you know, Anaheim, that's a place where players go to get some money and never be heard from again. We won't be checking for him over here. 3-hour time difference. We'll wake up in the morning. He'll homer somewhere out there in the Big A. And we're like, oh, did you see Pete Alonso? Nobody's even going to say that. So, I don't know. I'm just interested to see what happens with the Blue Jays now, because I just don't think that they signed Santander. They have Vladdy. Like, what would they be doing with Pete? And the Angels are the team that I was thinking about when I'm like, somebody could always use another bat. Somebody's going to look at their roster. Somebody's going to look at their lineup and say, we need another bat. And they got money to spend. And you know, and I know, Scott Boras has a lair behind home plate. He's always, you know, down there behind home plate. He's got an office set up somewhere in their stadium. He can always fall back on them. He can always talk to them. They can always try and figure out a deal between Manasian and Scott Boras. 888-808-1019. Let's take another Aaron Glenn call, as we should be celebrating Aaron Glenn, the new head coach of the New York Giants. Mike in Ramtown, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Go Hawks, baby.
Go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks, Miles County style. Yeah. All right.
Yes, sir.
With Aaron Glenn, I appreciate the hiring. I think he did a decent job this year before all the injuries decimated his defense. You know, obviously Aiden Hutchinson and all those things. McNeil on the defensive line interior was a big difference maker once he got hurt.
Yeah.
So my one question to you about Aaron Glenn is defense secondary. Why was Detroit so porous when you have a coach who was a defensive back? Like, shouldn't that factor in?
Yeah, you know what? The kid that they picked up, Amik Robertson, who kind of put the clamps on Justin Jefferson the week before, he got hurt early in that game. And they were so thin in the secondary. Obviously, they have Kirby Joseph, and they have Terrion Arnold, but those are only two guys.
Yeah.
I think it was injuries and not having, you know, the guys ready to go. To step in and do the job, it's tough when you're relying on practice squad, third-string guys.
You know what else is tough? Having N'Kobe Dean be out, having Darius Slay get injured. You know, like, the Eagles can overcome it.
Slay played just fine. Zach Bond is all pro, and he ended up taking the green dot and calling the plays for the Lions, or not the Lions, the Eagles, and they're in a way different situation in their own building, in the snow against the Rams. Yeah, they're able to overcome it. I'm not trying to absolve Aaron Glenn, but we do got to look at, they had like 10 injuries on that defense, and ultimately they folded.
I will willfully acknowledge that. One thing, ultimately they folded,
but they're, you know, the turnovers. You can't throw interceptions, fumble the ball, give Jaden Daniels and those guys.
You can't throw five turnovers.
Yeah, short field. No defense can survive that.
No, one thing on Alonzo, real quick. When you see the Dodgers spending with their ownership, and it's supposedly King Cohen, but then you have this small market GM so they kind of like cancel each other out almost. Why can't we just bring Pete back for 3 years at like $40 million a year? Like, what's the big deal? I don't get it. I don't get it.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I don't know. You don't get it. Like, why? How do we get to $40 million a year for Pete Alonso? They don't want to give him $30 million a year. It was three at 90, and then it dropped down to 70. So why can't they? Because they're not going to bid against themselves. Nobody is offering him that. It would be bad business. It's simple. He has no other offers on the table. And they don't have to overextend because that money can be used elsewhere. And David Stearns has a vision for what he wants to do with the rest of the team. He's not going to give funds to Pete Alonso because we're like, cut the guy a break. He's not going to overextend. He's not going to overpay Pete Alonso when he doesn't value him like that. He's a 30-year-old first baseman that they don't look at as part of the future. They're not going to give him $40 million a year. They're not going to give him $30 million a year. If anything, it's Pete tucking his tail, swallowing his pride, and taking the last offer that they put out there, which was rumored to be 3 years, $68 million, 3 years, $70 million. There is no $40 million. I don't think they come up on it. I don't think there's even a meet in the middle. Like, I think it's just take it or leave it. We think you're worth a little bit more than $23 million a year. 888-808-1019. We got to break it down. Keith McPherson on the fan. 888-808-1019. Make the hotline blink. I know when that hotline blink. Drake. I saw a diss record some random rapper put out on Drake. And he was doing the Drake hotline bling dance where Drake was like hitting his knee. Like, I think Drake is a GOAT. I think he's one of the best ever, but like, they be roasting his ass. He's so easy to make fun of.
It's unbelievable.
He gets cooked. It really is. He gets cooked by streamers with the lawsuit, with the Kendrick beef. But like, he's richer than everybody else. He's got more hits than everybody else. He's Drake, man. It is what it is.
Hey, but he's not playing the Super Bowl. That's Kendrick this year.
I don't think he wanted it. I think he had a chance to potentially do it. Allegedly, rumor has it that he could have played the Super
Kendrick
Bowl.
And then Kendrick ruined him?
Nah, but I think it is going to be crazy for America to hear that. Mustard on the V. Like, for Kendrick to perform not like us at the Super Bowl and have all of America like, say Drake. I heard you like him young.
Yo, it's kind of wild. Like, that's going to get performed. Like, just the thought about him being up there in the middle of this game. Insane.
I mean, he's got other tracks that he can do now. He's definitely going to do TV off.
Money Trees.
Yeah, he'll probably have to go back to, like, he'll play a little bit of, like, you know, the keys from Swimming Pools. And
yeah, maybe he'll bring out Drake and they can do a little Poetic Justice together, make up on stage.
You almost forget that they had that record. Like, I don't know. I think Drake.
In thunder and rain.
I think Drake being Canadian, like, I don't think he ever really wanted the Super Bowl. And with Hove and Roc Nation, Inspire Change kind of being the ones to lead the way that got you Usher last year and Rihanna and The Weeknd and Snoop, Dre. I don't know. I just think Drake never really wanted it and never was really going for it. But now, like, you know how they used to put people on the Summer Jam screen? Like, Kendrick's about to put Drake on the Super Bowl screen. That's crazy. That's crazy. 888-808-1019. Well, I have you, Zoo. Your thoughts as a Jets fan? I feel like everybody in here is a Jets fan. Your thoughts as a Jets fan on Aaron Glenn being hired to coach your team? I know you might have had somebody else in mind. Let me know maybe who you were hoping for and how you feel now that it's done.
I got to be honest, I didn't really think anything less. Let me rephrase that. I thought it was going to be Aaron Glenn. I thought that he was getting this job, not from maybe day one, but once everything started to emerge over the last like week or two, I was like, all right, this is the guy. And I'm all about it. The number one thing for me, and I know everybody's going to say this, every Jet fan is going to say this, and it's going to become nauseating to a degree, but they have to nail the offensive coordinator hire.
Yeah.
They have to do that. If they don't, and I know, oh, Rodgers is here, Rodgers, no. I don't want Aaron Rodgers dealing with that. I just want Aaron Rodgers to play. He's a 40-something-year-old man. I don't need him trying to do five different jobs. Get a legitimate offensive coordinator in here to go with him, and I think they will. And you know what? If you get Steve Wilks on defense, this defense will be fixed by next year. That's for sure. So I'm all about this move. I think he's the right guy. I think the fans are about. I think the fans, once we get to day one and it's training camp and he's out there and he's doing the things he's going to do as a former player,
yeah,
bringing that real Jet feel back, the thing that people thought Rex Ryan was going to bring back, that's what Aaron Glenn is going to bring
back. Oh, yeah. He's going to bring back former players. He's going to bring back vibes from the 90s. Who did I see? I saw Damian Woody endorsing him online. He said, can't tell you how many former Jets players are pumped for AG getting this gig. I saw Mina Kimes wrote, never know who's going to be successful as a head coach, but two thoughts. One, everyone I've ever met who's been around Aaron Glenn would run through a wall for him. Two, the tenacity and play of the Lions D as they continue to lose players was incredible and a stark contrast with New York. Like, he's going to bring a mentality to the entire team. They do have to nail the coaching staff. But I was talking the other night about, like, Nick Sirianni, right? A coordinator, offensive coordinator, first-time head coach. The success that he's had in Philly, it's not all on him. His press conference was terrible. He's had back-and-forth spats with the fans. I don't even know if his team likes him. I don't even know if players on the team like him. But he's got a solid group of guys coaching under him. 888-808-1019. So expect a bar to be raised. Aaron Glenn to have a certain standard. Expect to see former Jets players come back, be at practice, be in the building, be around. And they're all kind of rooting for this guy. Let's see. Rich Cimini wrote, just got off the phone with Bill Parcells, Aaron Glenn's mentor. Parcells doesn't get excited about too many things, but you could hear it in his voice. He was pumped up for Glenn. They still talk regularly. Parcells says, I know he's done an awful lot of diligent work to prepare himself to be a pro coach. He worked hard over the years. He started in scouting, which is a very good place to start, and learned about personnel acquisition, prototypes, and things like that. He knows all of that. Like, that's why I was on my Twitter. I just kept telling people, Aaron Glenn is not Rob Saleh. Not to hate on Rob Saleh, not to knock Rob Saleh. I think he got a raw deal. I think he got the short end of the stick. But you can't just lump this guy in because his last position was defensive coordinator with every other defensive coordinator. This is a guy that played, checked that box off, and then he did every other job leading up to being a head coach. He was highly touted, highly coveted. This is a guy that played under Parcells, Bill Belichick. He's got so many good qualities. Judy Batista said, Hall of Fame coach Bill Parcells, who had Aaron Glenn as a player with the Jets and Cowboys, is fired up for Glenn. Says he's not afraid to be contentious. He's just feisty. Not rude or impolite. He's just willing to get his point across. That's the Texas in him. Like, he is a Southern Texan guy. And you know what? He's a small guy. He's 5'9". So, like, he's always had to play bigger than he is, have a bigger personality than what he shows in stature.
And, bro, and to all those names that you just gave us and all the things that they just said, the one thing in common they all just said is how great of a guy he is, how happy that the people they spoke to are for him. And the one name that really stands out for me is Parcells. Because this is a dude that you know. I mean, whether it's right or wrong, you know, there's some feelings with the Jets and how he views
but he's
them.
A coach. That. He's one of the best coaches.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Period.
And he understands what it takes, and he coached this guy, and he knows what the Jets are. He knows what this franchise is, good or bad, he knows it. And he understands for this guy that he likes, that he thinks is a good dude, that he's rooting for, he thinks this is a good opportunity for him. He thinks he's the right guy for this job. Because you know what? There's about 30, 40, 50 other people that could have got this job.
Yeah.
Everybody would have been like, you know, I hope he's ready to deal with Woody Johnson.
Sure.
I hope he's ready to deal with this. But you're hearing these guys say, he's good. This is going to be good for him. He's going to do great. I'm excited. Excited is the thing. They're not going, I'm happy for this guy. They're saying, I'm excited. That means that you think good is on the horizon.
Yeah. My guy Jordan Schultz said that Several former Jets players went to Woody Johnson directly to advocate for Aaron Glenn. This is the guy. You got to hire this guy. I don't think they were doing that for Rex. I don't think they were doing that for Ron Rivera. I don't think they were doing that for a lot of these other guys that they checked on, but I'm glad that they did their due diligence. Harrison Glazer at New York Jets TF Media put out a statement from Aaron Glenn, the new head coach of the Jets. He said, "This place is special for me. From the time I was drafted and practiced on Long Island to the time I came back as a scout in New Jersey, this organization has always felt like home. I'm thankful to Mr. Johnson for this opportunity. To our players, prepare to be coached with everything we have. That is our responsibility. I ask that we share the same vision, and that's working towards winning a championship. To our fans, simply put, expect a winning team that you'll be proud of. It's time. It is time. 888-808-1019. So there's most of my stuff on Aaron Glenn. Like I said, I'm not going to play the audio. I think you guys have heard most of it now. Let's break. When I come back, I do want to talk about a few interesting stories around the NFL that pertain to the draft, the hiring cycle, and if you're a Jets fan or Giants fan, these are things that you kind of need to be keeping an ear to the streets on because they'll affect you. 888-808-1019, BRB. Keith McPherson on the Fan, Big Zuwop on the ones and twos. Taking your calls till 2 a.m. I do want to sprinkle in a little bit of these NFL topics and try and connect the dots here. So the first one that I thought was interesting, I got a chuckle out of this. Somebody wrote a tweet that Tom Brady would hire a guy named Spytek. So John Spytek is hired as the Raiders' assistant GM or the Raiders' new GM. He was the assistant GM with the Buccaneers, and obviously with Tom Brady being over at the Buccaneers when he was last playing, they have a relationship there. Tom Brady, I don't know if I've spoken on this. I've heard Boomer and the guys talk about it in the morning. It is a complete conflict of interest. And I do not expect Brady to be actually calling games for Fox over the next 10 years because it's only going to get worse. It's a complete conflict of interest to have Tom Brady calling games, meeting with teams, meeting with players, meeting with coaches, talking about these things on air. But then behind the scenes, he's a minority owner of the Raiders and he's influencing their decision making completely. I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, Tom Brady can do what he wants. He was able to do what he wanted at the end of his career. He can do what he wants here. And even during the game over the weekend, they had him talk about it. And the way Kevin Burkhart like pitched it to him was like, "Oh, yeah, you got this little side hustle." Please. They're paying you $375 million over 10 years to call games. And I don't know how much money you make being a minority owner of the Raiders. Allegiant Stadium is ridiculous. It's Vegas, so they sell out every game. They have a club in there. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. In other news, I thought it was very interesting that the Jaguars moved on from Trent Baalke. If you remember early on in, from Black Monday with Doug Peterson being fired, there was a Zoom call, and it kind of went viral because Shad Khan basically said, like, "Oh, I'd fire this guy if, the next coach suggested to," or something along the lines of that. I got to go find that because I'm saying it verbatim. But basically, he was letting you know this guy's job's not safe. So fast forward, weeks later, Trent Baalke is parting ways after four seasons as general manager. And I think it has something to do with the fact that Liam Cohen was like about to take the job and then went back. Ties to the Buccaneers now, going from, the assistant GM with the Buccaneers going to the Raiders. Liam Cohen, Buccaneers offensive coordinator, took himself out of the running for the Jaguars head coaching job to stay in Tampa, and they gave him a new contract to make him one of the highest paid coordinators in the NFL. Patrick Graham is interviewing tomorrow with the Jaguars. You guys remember him, Giants fans, a few years back, defensive coordinator. Rob Saleh is interviewing with them on Friday. So Shad Khan is interested in two guys that were here in East Rutherford. The Giants are hiring Marquand Manuel as their defensive backs coach. A little crossover there. He played in the NFL for 8 years. He served as the Falcons' defensive coordinator for 2 seasons prior to spending the last 4 years as the Jets' safeties coach. So he doesn't have to move. He's just going across the stadium. And what else did I have in that regard? I think that was it, and we're about to be up against it. I want to take this call. Oh, I know. So the injury report came out for the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you watched that game, which I know you did, you saw Jalen Hurts got hurt, and you saw Quinyon Mitchell got hurt. They were both limited in practice. Those guys play a lot of snaps for them. Keep your eye on that. They're both probably going to try and play, but they're both going to be compromised. Injuries came into play with the Lions losing to the Commanders. Injuries may come into play with this NFC Championship game. Let's go to Joe and Suffern on the Fan. You got it, Joe.
Hey, hello, Keith. You're my favorite guy to listen to.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I want to know about the Eagles. You think they're going to make it far?
I mean, they already have gotten pretty far. There's only two more games to go.
Yeah, you think they could beat the...
Yeah, even if Jalen Hurts is hurt, and you, I don't know if you saw Kellen Moore take blame for the safety, because it's just like a kind of stupid play call when you have a immobile quarterback that's got a banged up knee and you're in your own end zone and you have Saquon Barkley. I guarantee you, like, there are two more games left, like I just said. They are going to ride Saquon Barkley till the wheels fall off. He is going to get as much as he can handle. He's going to get a full workload against the Commanders. And then if they beat the Commanders, which I'm assuming they will, expect that also in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, hopefully. All right.
Thanks for the call, Joe. 888-808-1019. And appreciate the compliment. You know, not everybody's favorite, but somebody's favorite. And that's how the radio works. It's subjective. Some people like Boomer and Geo. Some people don't like Boomer and Geo. Some people love BT and Sal. Some people aren't fans of BT and Sal. Some people love Evan and Tiki. Some people don't listen to Evan and Tiki. Some people rock with me. Some people are like, this guy's terrible. not really. This is online. Some people might not like C-Mac. Who doesn't like C-Mac? 888-808-1019. It's tough. When you're on the radio, you give your opinion. You give so much of yourself as well being a solo host. You know, like I hear myself talk about my kid, my past, my career, a little bit of playing days. I hear C-Mac talk about his life, his family, you know. And you give all of that to create a connection, and it works for some. But it also works the opposite way. It makes people not like you for, you know, things they learn about you. It comes with the territory. You just got to be able to kind of process the good and the bad and just stay even keeled and down the middle. But, yeah, back to the Eagles. I thought that was interesting on the injury report. Quinyon Mitchell's shoulder, he was limited in practice. But Jalen Hurts with the knee was limited in practice. A.J. Brown, knee rest limited in practice. Josh Sweat. Lane Johnson, they're going to play. They're going to play. Why wouldn't they play? It is the potential last game if they lose. It's their last home game no matter what. They're going to play. But I just, man, even Saquon, like Saquon, they asked Saquon, why was he banging his helmet? He's running, scoring that touchdown, banging his helmet. He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know why I was doing that. I was crashing out, like the kids say. He was crashing out just like knowing that that was it. He was about to win the game. Let's go to Waterbury. Aria, what's up? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. I want to talk about who you thought the Aaron Glenn would sign as the offensive coordinator.
Who do I think he's going to sign as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
There's only two names that have been floated out there, but he may surprise us. Mark Brunell and Clint Kubiak.
What about defensive coordinator also?
People are pointing to Steve Wilkes, but it doesn't matter where people point to. What I was saying earlier was like, this is a business. This is a job. These guys have to be willing to come live in New Jersey, move their family to New Jersey. They have to agree on a dollar amount, a salary. I'm not sure. Well, I think we're going to find out soon. And the way that these things go, like, these reporters have connections to people. They start to hear things and they start to leak things, and we'll find out. But everything that I've seen, Mark Brunell or Clint Kubiak as the offensive coordinator, Steve Wilks as a defensive coordinator, but some people are also saying, like, will Rex, you know, will Rex be a defensive coordinator under him? I don't think Rex is.
That'd be cool.
It'd be cool. If Rex was cool enough to do that, that would be really cool to get Rex back in the building as well. Yeah. Almost like a 2-for-1. You get the hot candidate that, you know, doesn't have the experience, which everyone's leaning on. Oh, he's a first-time head coach. Why do we keep doing this? Well, you put Rex underneath him. Rex can, you know, share his experience. I don't know those two's relationship at all. I don't know Aaron Glenn's relationship with. Let me go back and see. Was he a scout when Rex was coaching? But that'd be great if they, because then it's like you got two head coaches in the building.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And the assistant GM from Washington. You think what happened with him for the GM then?
Lance Newmark, right?
Yeah.
Nothing. What I saw last from that was a report that, you know, they left the building. And, you know, people are like, don't let him leave the building. Don't let him leave the building. But he left the building, and now they're doing second interviews with some other people. And
that's not happening?
I wouldn't say it's not happening. It's just not done yet. Aaron Glenn had to get done. And I think Aaron Glenn also applied the pressure of, I'm not going to New Orleans. I'm not going to Dallas. This is where I want to be. Let's get it done. Thanks for the call, Aria. 888-808-1019. Call me up. We'll continue to talk about the Jets, Aaron Glenn, but I'm going to sprinkle some other topics in once we turn the page to the next day, January 23rd coming up. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.